What is up, everybody? Thank you all for tuning in to the Matt Ramage Show, presented by Quick Trip. Every episode of the Matt Ramage Show, presented by Quick Trip. You can now order food on the Quick Trip app. You can just go on the app, order your food, so it'll be ready ahead of time. You get there, it's all ready to go. Boom, boom, in and out. You know, that's why it's a Quick Trip, baby. All right, so big shout out to Quick Trip, sponsoring the show. Today, I have a fun guest, all right? I have a fun, fantastic guest, Bruce Irons. He's known on Twitter as Packers for the Win. He does some writing. He has his own website. We talk about that. And he's now a contributor with Cheesehead TV. So this week is going to be a fun week. This week, I took off of work the whole week, not to like go on vacation, just to plan. That is the goal this week. Plus, I gotta clean the garage, my wife said. But other than that, it's all about content. All right, so what do I got? I got tonight, Monday night, this podcast today is being dropped Monday afternoon, whatever time it is. And but Monday night tonight, I have live Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers podcast. And he's always fun. Tuesday, I have Andy Herman. The great Andy Herman is joining me. He's arguably one of the smartest people in the Packers sphere. You know what I mean? I always like talking to him. He's super smart. Wednesday, I have Aaron Nagler and Corey Benkion at the same time. Cheesehead TV creators. What can you tell us about Aaron Nagler and Corey Benke? Corey Benke is probably one of my favorite people to talk to. Like, no offense to all the people who I talk to. Corey Benke is just hilarious to me. He's funny. I like everything that he does. He's just he's just good people. He's fun to talk to. And Nagler's all right. You know what I mean? No, he's awesome too. So then Thursday, I have the one, the only Tom Grassi joining me over here on the Matt Ramage Show. And he is one person who I really haven't talked to. I have never talked to before. So that should be fun. The old Grassi Posse. I always love, I think it's funny. I'm yelling. So my watch is yelling at me. Thinks I'm talking to her. But yeah, he's one of the best at like what he does. His show is so unique. I think it's different from every other show that you see. Stoked to be able to talk to him. You know, and I see everyone in the comments like, oh, this should be funny. I'm like, I feel like that's a lot of pressure on me. All right, people, because he's hilarious. Anyway, so this week is going to be fun. I'm jacked for it. I might just maybe quit my job at the end of the week and just do this every week. You know what I mean? I don't think I can do that, but hopefully soon. But so there it is. Shout out to Quick Trip, sponsor the show. Let's get into this thing. All right. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. All right. Go Pack. Go. Thanks for listening, people.
He's always been, I'm sure he's on the same page as the receivers. And I think that's one of the reasons they don't bring in as many veterans, is because he's very particular about having that relationship and the rapport with the guys out there. And it just doesn't fit. And then forget, you know, the numbers. Packers got $5 million in cap space. He's 15. And then next year, almost $12 million. And the Packers are already $30 million over next year. It's just not financially possible. And I don't think it's a good deal. I think wide receivers are a really overrated part of the value proposition.
Yeah, I was actually, I think it was Ian Rappaport who basically said the same thing. Like, he's like, I thought he would be a second round pick because for all the reasons that you said, like, he was hurt, like, he's older. Cap space is huge. Like, they had to find a team that had cap space and that really wanted him because not a lot of teams have cap space right now, right? Like, with the 2020 all happened, and especially the Packers. So, like, yeah, I never envisioned of the Packers. I never thought it was it was a possibility. But like you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. So where are you at with the whole Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what they're calling it, Rodgers watch or whatever. Where are you at with all this?
I don't know. It's kind of crazy because like tomorrow OTAs are there, mandatory things are there, and you get all these, you put me on Monday. I'm the only one who doesn't get to know the news before a show. But I don't know what to think. I mean, nothing would surprise me at this point. If anything, I got to lean towards he's going to show up because there's not really, the Packers are going to play hardball. They're going to play hardball. But even saying hardball, I think it gets sensationalized in the media. It's a guy on the team who's expressed some frustrations. And I think a lot of it got blown out of proportion. The fact that no one's talking about it, I think kind of supports that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, dude, I get talked to like every single day. Like, I argue about Rodgers thing, because he never requested a trade, and then and they,
right.
they keep saying, well, he wants out of Green Bay. Well, if a player wants out, they do what Julio Jones did and publicly say, I'm not coming back. And then
right.
the team is kind of in a spot where, like, they have, I don't know if they have to trade you, but most teams do. With the Aaron Rodgers, I think it'd be a little different, but yeah, but he hasn't come out publicly. They're like going through stuff internally, like they're not going to broadcast every single thought that they have, every single conversation. I think he's going to be in Green Bay this season. Like, will he show up tomorrow? Like, I thought for sure. I was like, no, he'll be there. He'll be there when, you know, when he's got to be. But then I heard he won't, and the Packers maybe wouldn't find him. I don't, you know, I'm not smart enough for all that. But I'm not sure, but I think, like, when it matters, like training camp, I think Rodgers will be there because, like you said, right. he doesn't have a lot of options. Like, they either trade him, he plays, or he retires. And he isn't going to retire, I don't think. He isn't going to hold out. That just doesn't seem – like, I don't know him, obviously, but, like, it just doesn't seem like something – he cares about his image. Not even his image, but, like,
yeah.
in history. You know, he wants to be looked back. He doesn't want to be like that, oh, he held out and, you know –
And, he wants a legacy.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I couldn't find it. But, yeah, he cares about his legacy. He does, and he's older. You know, 37-year-old quarterbacks don't hold out. Like, what's he holding out for? Like, I think that he's trying to make a point, whether he is or not. Like, I think the Packers are hearing him. And I think when he comes back, like, it'll all be forgotten. Because, like, they're professionals. Like, so many times you see, like, a running back, you know, back yep. in the day would hold out. And it just seems like the team and the player. And then they come back and everything is fine, and they do because it's a business. People talking about, like, well, Rodgers might, if he does come back, he won't try real hard. Like, dude, they have egos. They're professionals.
It's not Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Yeah.
They're, I don't think any player would do that. Like, no, not any, like, player isn't playing, not going to give their best, not going to go,
no.
like, If he's back in Green Bay or wherever he is, I think it'll be Green Bay. He'll be giving it his all. All will be forgotten. Like, he's not mad at LaFleur. Like, all the guys in those rooms and on the field, they're all going to be good. And to me, I think he'll be there.
Like you say, I can't see him not going full throttle. You talk about, you know, last year people wanted to say he was upset they picked Jordan Love. He did not go half throttle. He got fire lit under him,
yeah.
and that's what drove him. He's so competitive that anything like that, if he's mad and he's playing angry, I think
yeah, and actually, they could probably get the same thing out of him this year. Like, if he is so upset, but he comes back, he plays mad, and like, all right, I'll show you. I think the thing with Rodgers is he doesn't want to play this year and be traded. Like, he wants to finish in Green Bay. So that's why he wanted a new contract from what I heard, is that he wants to finish in Green Bay. He doesn't want to be like, another MVP type year, or, you know, MVP candidate probably, and then I just get traded anyways because Jordan's ready. Like, I want commitment to say I'm going to be here long term. I think he wants to retire in Green Bay. He said it, that it's not about Jordan Love, but it's about a show.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, and people want to take that and make it into a petty thing or say he's being a baby, but really this is a guy who has been here a very long time, invested in the community, invested in the team, built his reputation, already has a great legacy here, won a title, did all these things, and he wants it. He's talked about that. He wants to stay with one team his whole career, and when he talks about that doesn't always happen and it's not always possible, he's always sad about it, and it seems like when you hear it from his mouth and you hear him talking, he doesn't want that. And you're right, he wants the security, and it's not about the money. He obviously doesn't need any more money, but he wants to know that he's going to get to come back year after year. He doesn't have to wonder if each year is going to be the year he gets traded. He doesn't have to wonder if he gets cut loose. And I think that's where he's looking for a contract structure that is going to make the Packers commit to him. I don't think it's about the money, but I think he's looking for that contract structure that says, you're a guy, you're going to be here, and you don't have to wonder year to year if this is your last run.
Yeah, I think that is like exactly. I mean, I've been trying to say it, but your words were much better than mine. No, but I know that, like moving off that, I know that you're like a big draft guy, and this draft absolutely. Really, really intrigues me. Last year's draft, I think a lot of the guys are going to make jumps. First of all, what was your thoughts on this year's draft?
I really liked the draft. Actually, I liked it when I was watching it. I liked it even more afterwards. I was a little surprised because Christian Barmore was the defensive lineman that I, you know, they've always had this needed defensive line, and I know they don't seem to prioritize it. Last year, I thought they might go defensive line early, and they didn't, especially after that abysmal Niners game. But then coming into this year, I was like watching Barmore draft. I'm like, come on, Barmore, drop. And he dropped, and I was just so excited that he was there. And then they took Eric Stokes. And I know a lot of people were disappointed with that. I wasn't. I'd even tweeted a couple times that Stokes than pretty much anybody. I had him as cornerback 4 in the class, and I was really surprised they took him because I didn't expect them to be that high. I probably should have been based on type of athlete he is and the type of player. So at first, I was a little mixed that they didn't take Barmore, but I'm a huge Stokes fan. I actually wrote about him on my Cheesehead TV article yesterday that came out. But I look at Stokes, the speed jumps off. He had a 4.25 40, which is just crazy. And you look at guys like Jair Alexander, Darnell Savage, Nick Collins. He's faster than all of them. He's probably the fastest defender the Packers have ever had in the history of the franchise, which is just amazing to say out loud. But he's not just a speed guy. He's not like L. Davis players that can just run and not play. He played SEC, locking down big name receivers every week. And he didn't have a lot of interceptions. He didn't have a lot of these other things. And it's because they just didn't throw at him. And I know I saw a couple of guys even tweeting saying, watching Eric Stokes film, best thing you could possibly do in draft season, because it's just him running next to his guy, staying on his hip, not getting thrown at. So a huge fan of that. I was really surprised with the Myers pick, not because I don't think he was worth it. I really like it. And I like him. Just surprised they took a center that high, because historically they have not taken centers that high. And again, they passed on more defensive linemen. They didn't take a receiver, which, I don't know, in the second round, is kind of 50-50. But I do like that. I think he can plug in right where Corey Lindsley was. Obviously, I don't expect him to step in and be an all-pro as a rookie. But I think when Bakhtiari's back and Meyer center, they're going to be every bit as effective as they were last year. And I think they have one of the top units in the league. And then third round, the big trade up for Amari Rodgers. Absolutely love that pick. He was one of those guys that just jumped off when you're watching him play. He can run that Tyler Irvin role, still taking swing passes. He can run out of the slot. He's actually not even that bad out wide. And the thing that I think is really exciting about is once he gets the ball in his hands, he's just so tough to bring down. He's slippery. He's got moves. He's got a compact power frame. So that's a guy that, looking at their offense, you look at the diversity of guys. They got a guy like Adams who can do everything. You got your possession guard. You got your speed guy in MVS. You got Funchess coming in, who is a bigger body, a different kind of target. And then a guy like Amari Rodgers, who is completely different than all of them. I think it's going to be really tough to cover all of those guys. And LaFleur is going to be able to play matchup games based on whatever defense he's going up against. So love that pick. Newman was a guy I wasn't as high on, but the day three, and you're taking tackles in a deep class, you're just looking for developmental guys. The day three guys that did stick out to me were TJ Slayton. Loved seeing him finally take just a space eater, a run-stopping specialist. I think he's going to be a big help rotationally. You look at, you know, Ty Lancaster's kind of been filling that role. I think Slayton's a huge upgrade there. And then Shamar John Charles was one of those guys that I had on my list. I did in a lot of mocks on day three, where if you're just looking for talent, you're looking for kind of a raw specimen who can come in and play corner. Really like to see what he can do. I think with Stokes coming in, being the long-term partner to Jair, then to maybe play the slot would be, I think, a big win for them. He's got a different kind of game. He also comes with solid speed. And then you got Kevin King coming back, who has the big body matchups. For as much as he's hurt and can't do everything all the time, I love what John Charles brings to that room with Stokes, Jair, and King. So overall, I'm a big fan. So again, a lot of these guys, I'm surprised at the picks. I'm surprised where the Packers took them, but really like it pretty much top to bottom, the talent level that they're bringing in. So very excited about it.
Yeah. Like I'm not the most knowledgeable about like college. So I just wait till after the draft. I look at positions. Like I know a little bit, but I'm not anywhere near like educated enough to be like talking about the draft. That's why I bring smart people on. But, but yeah, just like Stokes, like everything that you've said and everything I've heard a lot of people say, like I keep saying I'm stoked for Stokes because
me too.
It's just, yeah, if they got someone on the other side, like no offense, but like you said, he can do some things well, but there's some things he can't. It's great to have just a mixture, because with that pass rush, I think the Packers are going to have, if they can like cover well, like dude, that's going to be so beneficial just for getting sacks. I'm just shutting them down plays. I'm actually very excited about this defense this season.
Yeah, I'm huge on the defense. And like you said, that pass rush, the thing that how complementary rush and cover are. And I went back, sadly, and watched the NFC Championship game again this week. And one of the things I noticed, I mean, King out of position a couple times, Sullivan out of position a couple times, but on plays, the pass rush was almost there. And you saw in the second half, those interceptions all came from the hurries and the pass rush. And they don't need to bring Charles Woodson back in to lock down a side. They need a guy who can just give them an extra half second. And I think Stokes is that kind of guy. I look at where King missed, especially before. King's a good player. I'm one of the biggest King defenders out there. He doesn't have recovery speed. So if he misses that little out and up, that's it. It's just there. As soon as you know, the corner got turned on that route, you just knew that was it. Oaks comes in there. He's got the speed to catch up. I mean, he misses the out and up. He's just going to run it down before the ball gets there. And that is the kind of thing that I think makes a big difference. I'm also, you know, big on that pass rush to see what's coming along too, because I think Joe Barry is going to be a little more aggressive in getting after the cornerback. So then you put Stokes, Jair, Savage, Amos, all those guys are in the 4-2 range. It's going to be really fun to watch that kind of speed patrolling the back end when he lets the big dogs rush the passer.
Yeah, so like we talk about that. Like we have a new defensive coordinator. I'm excited, but like last year, Rashawn Gary, like everyone, you know, I heard a lot of people like all ask, "Oh, he's a bust. He's a bust," because people like to yell "bust" way too soon. Yeah.
They do. They looked at the sack numbers and they weren't big enough. So he must be a bust, right?
Yeah. I think Zadarius, Preston, Rashawn, dude, like, I think that those three, obviously, those other guys, but those three alone all play like to their potential and play like how they can. Dude, I think that this defense is going to have a massive pass rush.
Yeah, I really like where Rashawn Gary has gone. If he's listening, he can unblock me now. During the draft, I said, I was like, hey, who would I pick? I do this every year. I look at the draft, like, here's who I would have taken, just to, you know, to go back and look how stupid I looked, or hey, maybe I got one right. But it's just a fun exercise to learn more about the draft. And I would have taken Brian Burns. I was like, man, I really liked Burns. He just had this jump off the ball. And the thing I did with Gary was he was kind of a tweener, where he had the pass rush, but he was also, you know, a big run stuffer, and I didn't know how they would use him in the defense. But over the last 2 years, you see where his pass rush has gone. And if you're not looking at the box score and you're just watching him play all the time, he's just a bulldog. He's pushing back linemen. He's getting in the quarterback's face. He has made a lot of strides. He always had a problem in college. It looked like turning the corner where he'd over pursue. He would shoot upfield, and the tackles would just kind of walk him in a big arc and give the quarterback a pocket. I think he's gotten a lot better at pushing upfield and then getting back inside to get at the quarterback. I think that's been huge for effectiveness. And I think him and Zadarius are going to be flexing inside even more this year. They didn't invest any high picks in defensive line again. You got Kenny Clark in there. But if you have Gary and Zadarius on the same side, and you saw it last year even, they had a lot of like two linemen where they put Gary and Zadarius together, and one of them would kind of fill the role of that third lineman. The two of them running stunts, double rush, was punishing. And I'm really excited to see what they do, especially as he continues to grow and improve, because I think he's on his way. He has great numbers. And I hate looking at stats, but you look at his, you know, his pass rush percentage and everything, it's like, oh, his percentage was super high. And then people complain because, oh, there wasn't the production. He didn't have the sacks. Well, he's playing a part-time role, and he's getting pressure. And that's just as big as getting the sacks. And we saw that in the NFC Championship game. Did you want to sack Tom Brady, or you want to pressure him into throwing an interception? I love what they're doing. I'm really what Barry does.
Yeah, I think for Rashawn Gary, I think Zadarius Smith is huge, because I always think that, like, if you have, like, an all-pro at like each position, preferably. Doesn't always work.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But when you do have these guys like David Bakhtiari, I think he's beneficial for every young offensive lineman coming up because, you know, there's a leader that knows coaches, but just have a guy like next to you. Like, I think the same with Za'Darius Smith. He's showing Rashawn Gary, little tricks of being a pro. I think that's beneficial. Yeah. For these guys getting drafted and just having someone that is just doing it so good and show you the ropes.
Yeah, and I think you put it perfectly, that phrase, teaching them how to be a pro, because I think in those cases, it's about a lot more than just what they're doing on the field and the moves. There's such a huge culture shock that these kids got to go through coming out of college, going to the pros. And it's mind-blowing. We never think about it. We just think about the on-field performance. We want to plug and play and say, hey, I did this in college. Do it in the pros, but so many of these guys are coming in, they're getting money for the first time in their life, and it's not a little money. They're getting just huge amounts of money, and yeah, they got agents and they got financial advisors, but just learning how to behave and carry yourself. And you look at guys like David Bakhtiari, those guys aren't punks. Those guys figured it out. Those guys are leaders in the locker room, on the field, off the field. They're just the kind of people that younger players can look up to and learn to on the field, and just learn how to handle themselves off the field, be a more mature person, not being getting into trouble, not having off the field headaches that you got to worry about, even if it's not stuff in the news, to handle your business and be a better pro. I think those kind of guys are what we define Packer people, and that's what they're looking for, and they've had a lot of success with it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think coming in to the league, you have all this money, you have family, you have friends who want a little piece of it. There's so much going on. Of football, that it's good to have. That's why they have rookie camps where they kind of give advice on whatever how to run it. But yeah, as far as like practicing, like the whole deal, it's good to see someone. But I want to ask you about the offense now.
All right,
Aaron Nagler, I saw he was talking about this, about all the tight ends Packers have and how they can utilize them all at the same time. And like I love that. I love the. Having multiple tight ends on the field, like motion them out, move them around. The defense doesn't know who's going where. Like Packers have some tight ends, and how would you like to see them be used? Like, are you with me, or do you not like that multiple tight ends?
Here's what I like: multiple offense. So I talked about Adams, MVS, Lazar, Funchess, Rogers, those five completely different types of receivers, and then you look at Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon, two completely different types of runners. And then you look at the tight ends. You got Tanyan, who is a great receiver, strides on his pass blocking. You got Lewis, who is like having an extra tackle out there, but is still very sure-handed. You got Sternberger, who is a guy that I loved coming out of college, and I'm hoping that he's getting past those injuries and developing, because he's more that field stretcher. He's a decent blocker. He can get in position and get in the way, but he's one of those field stretching tight ends. And Josiah DeGara is one of those just unique H-back flex guys who, just in limited time last year, you saw what he could do. He got out on some of those lead block assignments, and he could move in a way that most of their fullbacks move and still get people out of the way, and then also look solid catching the ball. So I think, just like you have the receivers and the backs with all this diverse skill sets, you're getting the same thing out of tight ends. And I think that's where a coach like LaFleur, who has shown, through all his stops, that he is great at flexing matchups, at pencil whipping defenses, at knowing how to use all the different tools at the right. And I think their record without Devontae Adams shows that he's a special receiver. And when he's gone, the Packers still win every single game because LaFleur knows how to use that talent differently. So I love it. I think Naylor's on the right track with that, because they could legit come out and play a five wide, and then they could come in and play with four tight end sets.
Yeah.
And they could play with pro set with Dillon and Jones back there. You could run wishbone and have DeGura blocking in the back. They can do anything. And so you just look at, what defense are you going up against this week? What do they do good? Do the opposite, because you have players who can do any position. So a big fan, really excited to see what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, I like you mentioned the running game. I think the running game could be so good. I think it was AJ Dillon that said that it could be the best running back tandem in the league. I definitely think that it could be up there, because Dylan, like, we haven't seen a lot of them. We saw a little bit last season, but I think it was Tennessee where he had a big opportunity and he really took advantage of it. So and then Aaron Jones is Aaron Jones, and they're different type of backs. I think that running game could be huge. Then you add in Rodgers at receiver. How big an impact do you have in his rookie year?
You know, I don't think he's going to have a big fantasy impact, which is everyone looking for. But I think when you look at what Tyler Urban used to do in that offense, the sweet motions, and just he only touched the ball 3 or 4 times a game, but he was in there running misdirection. I think that's the big impact that he's going to have, especially his rookie year. He's going to be in there moving around, making defenses wonder. He's going to be coming in as a rookie. No one's going to be sure how he's going to be used. So I don't see, you know, huge yards and eye-popping stats. I see him adding a layer of complexity to the offense that makes it hard for defenses to adjust. And that's just going to open up the offense in general to, you know, just getting him some silly fantasy numbers.
Oh, yeah. I think that the receiving group in Green Bay is, like, interesting because they could be so good. Like I think I love MVS. I think that, you know, he had the biggest yards per catch last year in the league. He can do it. He just got to hold the ball. I think once a player gets a reputation of dropping the ball, like, everyone sees every single drop. There's a lot of players who drop balls, but no, they don't really have that reputation. But if he can get sure-handed, get confident, and just do it consistently, I think that he could be huge. Lazard, another one. I like Lazard. Then you add in Rodgers. I think that this could be a good receiving group with Aaron Rodgers. But let me ask you this before I let you go, since I didn't mention it earlier. But if Rodgers would happen to not be playing, where are you at with Jordan Love? Have you seen enough to, like, one way or the other?
Yeah, so I believe they took Love with the intention of sitting him for 2 or 3 years at least, just kind of like they did with Rodgers, because I'm a big believer, and I think the Packers are too, that quarterback is the hardest position to all of sports, to just make the jump from college to pros. And one of the things that I wrote about in my article about him was the starting quarterback during the season is spending their weeks analyzing the game plan. They're looking at the defense they're going to be playing against, and they're doing the weekly install. That's what their whole week is taken up with. And when you're a guy like Jordan Love, or even a guy Rodgers was, when he comes in, he's not a ready-made pro. There's very few quarterbacks who are ready to step in day one and start. Aaron Rodgers wasn't. Patrick Mahomes wasn't. Peyton Manning played his rookie year, and he was garbage. It just doesn't happen. So I think they wanted to sit him for at least 2 or 3 years so that in that week-to-week planning, he's not focused on, you know, the week. He's focused on fine-tuning his mechanics. He's focused on being a better pro. He's focused on being ready in a few years. So, I mean, if they had to throw him in, I think Matt LaFleur would do a great job using all those weapons we talked about with what I think is going to be another stellar offensive line and get the productivity they need. I really do wonder 50-50 if Blake Bortles isn't a better option as a 1-year stopgap. Given Love probably wasn't being prepared to be a starter this year, that he'd be halfway through the development schedule that they have for him. And Bortles, no, he's not a world beater, but he knows the offensive system, and you're looking at him like a guy who has a lot of talent, enough to be a high pick in the NFL draft. Can he come in with some familiarity in the offense and, you know, lead a team that's got a lot of weapons? You look at, like, Tennessee, they used to retread like Ryan Tannehill, who everybody thought was a flop, and he's having success there too. And the last thing that I tweeted the other day was, you know, if Rodgers doesn't come back, there's a lot of teams that won the Super Bowl without Aaron Rodgers.
It's
not the only way to do it. So I don't know. I love that they grabbed Jordan Love. I'm glad that they have someone they can develop, but I don't know if he's ready this year or not. I think I'm 50-50 on if it'd be him or Bortles. Kind of leave it up to the coaches, I think, at that point.
Yeah, I think that obviously that, like, I think the only ones that truly know, like, are the coaches who see them,
right?
See them on the field and all that. Excuse me, but I think that was their plan all along. Like you said, that's why they didn't put him in. Everyone's like, oh, your first round pick's not even active. I think that's exactly it. They're like, we don't want you to even worry about the stuff. get better, watch how it's being done. Maybe he's watching Rodgers prepare. Maybe he's watching what you know, everything going on, but not having to, you know, study something. So he can, and I don't think he's probably not ready because he had a weird offseason last year. He wasn't active.
That's something people don't talk about a lot. He didn't even get a rookie offseason. Nearly as much time with the in-person, with the drilling, with the mechanics work that you can't do virtually. He just didn't get it. And that's a big stunt to his growth.
Yeah, I think him sitting like one more season is probably ideal. I think Rodgers will be back anyways, so right? But
we'll know tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, the tomorrow is a big thing if Rodgers shows up. But, you know, he could not show up tomorrow and still show up for training camp.
Yeah, I don't think they could give him an excused absence.
Yeah, I don't think it's beneficial to him or the team. Like, if he's going to come in and play anyways, I think he should just come in because, you know, they – with a rookie wide receiver, I think it'd be good to, you know, see his quarterback. I'm really hoping that he's there. If he's not though, that I think there's still a chance, dude. I'm the most like I just try to have good thoughts. I want Rodgers on the Packers this season.
Me too.
Yeah, but anyways, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. Everyone, go to PackersForTheWin.com. Also, he's a contributor on She Said TV. Follow him on Twitter, Packers for the Win, and he does great work. Thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Take it easy.
All right, go Pack, go, man.
Enough to be a high pick in the NFL draft. Can he come in with some familiarity in the offense and, you know, lead a team that's got a lot of weapons? You look at like Tennessee. They used to retread like Ryan Tannehill, who everybody thought was a flop, and he's having success there too. And the last thing that I tweeted the other day was, you know, if Rodgers doesn't come back, there's a lot of teams that won the Super Bowl without Aaron Rodgers.
It's
not the only way to do it. So I don't know. I love that they grab Jordan Love. I'm glad that they have someone they can develop, but I don't know if he's ready this year or not. I think I'm 50-50 on if it'd be him or Bortles. Kind of leave it up to the coaches, I think, at that point.
Yeah, I think that obviously that, like, I think the only ones that truly know, like, are the coaches who see them,
right?
See them on the field and all that. Excuse me. But, I think that was their plan all along. Like you said, that's why they didn't put them in. Everyone's like, oh, your first round pick's not even active. But I think that's exactly it. They're like, we don't want you to even worry about the stuff. Get better, watch how it's being done. Maybe he's watching Rodgers prepare, maybe he's watching what you know, everything going on, but not having to, you know, study something. So he can, and I don't think he's probably not ready because he had a weird offseason last year. He wasn't active.
Something people don't talk about a lot. He didn't even get a rookie offseason. Nearly as much time with the in-person, with the drilling, with the mechanics work that you can't do virtually. He just didn't get it.
And
that's a big stunt to his growth.
Yeah, I think him sitting like one more season is probably ideal. I think Rodgers will be back anyways, so right? But
we'll know tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, the tomorrow is a big thing if Rodgers shows up. But, you know, he could not show up tomorrow and still show up for training camp.
Yeah,
I don't think
they could give him an excused absence.
Yeah, I don't think it's beneficial to him or the team. Like, if he's going to come in and play anyways, I think he should just come in because, you know, they – with a rookie wide receiver, I think it'd be good to, you know, see his quarterback. I'm really hoping that he's there. If he's not though, that I think there's still a chance, dude. I'm the most like I just try to have good thoughts. I want Rodgers on the Packers this season.
Me too.
Yeah, but anyways, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. Everyone, go to PackersForTheWin.com. Also, he's a contributor on She Said TV. Follow him on Twitter, Packers for the Win, and he does great work. Thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Take it easy.
All right, go Pack, go, man.